In Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. December wheat at $8.45, 24 cents lower. March contract at $8.49.5, down 23 for the afternoon. And the May futures at $7.34, settled 14.5 cents lower on the afternoon. From the corn pit, nearby December contract at $3.58.25, 6 higher. March futures at $3.74.75, up 5.75. And the May contract at $3.84.5, up 5.5 cents. December corn up 4 cents on this 19th day of September at $4.08.25. November soybeans $9.71, were a penny and a half higher. January futures at $9.86, up 1.5. Of the March contract at $9.95, 3 cents higher on the afternoon. November beans at $9.39.5 for next year were up 11.25. October bean meal futures gained 50 cents at $2.66.90. The December futures were down 50 cents at $2.72.20. October bean oil at $39.28, down 20, and December futures down 19 at $39.70. From the Mercantile Exchange, live cattle October contract $95.50, 15 lower. December futures unchanged at $99.45. September feeder cattle $116.75. They were up a nickel for the day, and the October futures at $116.27.5. We're up 17.5 cents, or rather down 17.5 cents there. October lean hog futures, 63.20. We're down 67.5. December off 80 at 65.20. And the February is at 68.62.5. We're 90 cents lower on the day. Outside markets, crude oil trading the October contract at $81.95 a barrel at this hour, still trading 44 cents higher. November's at $80.90 a barrel, up 67 cents. CRB index at 329.42 is 263 higher. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 13,807, up just about 68 points at this hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
It's a Wednesday afternoon. We're always joined by Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Let's start in the bean pit this afternoon. Tell me about the discrepancy between the penny gain in the nearbys and the deferred picking up 11 cents.
During the early morning trading, there is this general feeling that instead of a bushel or a half a bushel less bean yield per acre, we probably are going to see the USDA number pretty accurate. And we did see this sell-off in which the bean market sold off pretty drastically and then came back in the last few minutes of trade. Generally, I think more than anything else, there was a lot of spread unwinding and spreading going on in the marketplace, and I think that's probably the only thing that I can really say of any significance on that. Our general impression is that there'll be a tendency for more beans next year planted, and we are also getting reports 6 to 8% more beans planted in Brazil this coming year, and South America, and some people are even calling for 10% more. We don't think that this is anything fundamental other than just getting out of long old crop beans and covering bull spread liquidation, and possibly somebody might have waited to the last few minutes to buy some new crop 2008 beans more than the 8. New trend or a significant signal in the marketplace.
On the old crop side, farmers are going to hear and see a couple of numbers when they look at their DTN machines tonight or they go online. They'll see some $10 in the May and the July contracts. Should they be looking for those numbers to stay in the $10 range, do you think, far out?
My general opinion is that we are seeing, as I said, slightly better yields, and 60 bushel yields times 920 or 1050 or $10 or something in here is an enormous amount of money. And
so
we do think
sell.
That farmers will be selling soybeans when their yields are confirmed from the combine. One of the things that we're basically saying is there is this discrepancy between the cash price and the futures price. And a hedge to arrive or some type of marketing program or actually storing it and selling it into the deferred contract isn't the worst thing to do. Now, are we going to see a substantially higher bean prices of $10 to $12 like some of the pundits are saying? That's down the road, and that's if we don't get acreage increase in Brazil, and that's a lot of things here, or if our yields were falling short. My take was that there's still a large group of traders that think the USDA will substantially lower the yields in the future. I'm one that says I don't think that's going to happen.
And so you're not thinking that's happening, and you're thinking, are you thinking anything in the cash sales above $9, which probably...
Well, I'm not going to discourage someone with 60 bushel beans at $9 a bushel. You know, that's real money, and I don't want to discourage somebody from least waking and watching and taking some sort of marketing action and that type of thing. You know, we're seeing, I outlined, one strategy that would work, and, we can always sell the cash and then buy some kind of a bull call spread in case they really are bullish down the road. But I think all indications are that the marketplace is still pretty stout. There's rumors that China has still got some beans to buy. There was rumors they were buying a cargo of beans on the West Coast. Historically, they come into the market this time of year. There's also stories that they'd like to establish a bean reserve of soybean oil. My question is historically, they don't signal things like that. And number two is, where were they this summer with the basis levels so wide and the flat prices, a couple of dollars cheaper?
Could all go back to that blue ear disease that we have heard so much about but haven't really been able to get much particulars on the losses in the hogs in China.
Could possibly be, but they are buying the highs of the market or in the seasonal year, and that's not typical of their style of business.
All right, and then, if you're a willing seller, let me say, and you can correct me if that's not wrong, but if you're a willing seller at the $9 cash side for soybeans, are you also a willing seller in the low $3 for corn?
My general impression is that we talked about it in great length over at the Farm Progress Show, and it's becoming quite the topic of conversation about the bidding for acres. And at some point in time, we would see some sort of a bottom in the corn market and bidding up for those acres. Generally, I think that the crop production report is good. I think it's being confirmed in several of the major producing states that the USDA crop was good. And we will see possibly a bigger report in October. My contention is that the USDA probably has ethanol usage a little high. We probably will see some smaller acreage planted next year. And definitely the storage idea to me makes some good sense. But we do need the Congress to do some speed up things on improving ethanol demand, blending, and things of that nature to really get the corn market zooming again. I think today was strictly a spread market. I think that the late in the trading day we did see some short covering and short sales didn't work, and we did see the speculator come in and cover his short positions in the last 3 to 4 minutes of trade.
Would you dare to make a gander what the overnight trade might do?
I wouldn't be a bit surprised if we wouldn't see some fallback or correction in the corn. I took a trip yesterday to Decatur and then from Decatur to back to Oakwood, Catlin area, and my general impression is we still have an enormous amount of corn to harvest and soybeans, the crop. Just the harvest is just getting started. And as I say, I think it will spill and fill the system to the fullest. And storage, I think, will definitely pay, and we will see some better prices down the road. But I don't think we're looking at more than a 10, 15, 20 cents at the most dip between now and the end of harvest.
Do you think 180 and 182 for Illinois and Iowa, respectively, will be high enough for the USDA statewide averages?
I think it's going to be confirmed. Now, how much is it going to be beat? I think we still have to see just if this trend of 190, 200 bushels, 210, and, you know, for the first time in my life, I've heard five different geographic locations in the state of Illinois where we had 250 bushels yields reported that were accurate. So, you know, these are new, enormous yields, and if the northern part of the state confirms this, I think that there's definitely a chance of that happening.
All right. Anything else to add before we let you go, maybe on the Mercantile Exchange?
The only other thing that I'd like to mention is that from the seed sales, we have some guesses that the wheat seedings could be as much as 25% higher in this geographic area, and that's a big wheat crop coming down the road.
All right, thanks much.
Have a nice day.
You too. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens each and every Wednesday afternoon.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
At the bottom of the hour, Drew Lerner, World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City, will join us for a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. Our own chief meteorologist right here at the radio station, Ed Kieser, says tonight in the north, skies will be mostly clear across the two-state region. In the central sections, it'll be partly cloudy, a few widely scattered showers during the evening hours. In the south, partly cloudy tonight. Lows will range from 54 in the far northwestern parts of Illinois to 63 in the south. Tomorrow, says Ed, in the north, mostly sunny. In central sections, partly to mostly sunny. In the south, partly sunny. A chance of a few isolated showers. They'll pop up. Highs will range from 78 near Lake Michigan tomorrow to 90 in the south. The extended forecast for the two-state region highlights dry and unseasonably warm weather expected Friday through the weekend. Showers and thunderstorms expected early next week as the cold front passes through the area. Dry and mild weather temperatures readings closer to the average should follow for the middle of next week. And long-range maps indicate that a significant cold front could move through late on October 1st or early on October the 2nd. No unseasonably cold weather is expected during the rest of September. In a few moments, our own director of ag programming here at the radio station, Dave Dickey, will be along with the agricultural news. I'm Todd Gleason. This is the Closing Market Report.
In agricultural news, it now appears that Senate Finance Committee Chairman Max Baucus will not mark up legislation that would provide up to $10 billion in tax-related offsets for the Farm Bill until the first week of October. The markup was originally scheduled for today. The Baucus tax package is intended to create conservation tax credits and raise enough revenue to allow for a $1 billion a year permanent agriculture disaster aid fund. Meanwhile, Senate Agriculture Committee Chairman Tom Harkin says the new farm bill could cut direct payments across the board or peg direct payments to commodity prices. If commodity prices are high, direct payments would drop. Harkin says, and this is a direct quote, "I think there is some merit to it." Harkin now says he hopes to have a farm bill out of committee before October 8th.
During this work period, we're going to do it, and we're going to achieve important reforms, and we're going to deliver on key rural and national needs. I'd like to have a bill reported out with the majority, but we're close, but we're still doing some work on the funding.
Just last week, Harkin indicated markup of the farm bill would be the week of September 24th. Harkin says the Senate plans to offer continuing resolutions for the current farm bill on a month-by-month basis until a new farm bill is signed into law. The current farm bill expires on September 30th. The U.S. Department of Energy reports that the volume of ethanol used by refiners and blenders has lagged ethanol output since last November. Numbers from the latest reporting month, June, show ethanol output of 491,000 barrels a day, while refiners, importers, and blenders consumed 370,000 barrels a day. Suppliers and customers say that a lack of infrastructure and uncertainty over who would build it is crimping ethanol's integration into mainstream motor fuels. Of particular concern are the separate storage and transport facilities that ethanol demands. USDA Chief Economist Keith Collins says a half percentage point cut in the Federal Reserve interest rate is good news to agriculture.
Today, farmers are spending about 8% of their total production expenses on interest. That's interest on short-term debt, like operating loans, and interest on long-term debt, like real estate loans. In 2007, we are estimating that farmers will spend $15.6 billion on interest expenses.
That's compared to $11.5 billion in 2003 before interest rates started rising. And U.S. Trade Representative Susan Schwab says the final outcome of world trade talks will depend largely on the willingness of advanced developing countries to open their markets. In a speech to the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, Schwab said, "We're going to know in the next 4 to 6 weeks how the talks are going to play out." And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you of two things. First, go to our website at willag.org and sign up for our newsletter. Just hit subscribe. Secondly, next week, during this hour, we'll go not till 2:36 Central, but to 3 o'clock. And we'll focus most of the time all week long next week on agricultural issues. Please stay tuned for that hour. Should be a good one. We hope to have you with us then. Well, up next, this year, U.S. farmers put in a record number of corn acres. You already know that. And it's dried down and soon will be put into the bin, if not already. And it'll be on the ground, too. And anywhere else farmers can find to store that record-setting yield. I'll have more on how the 13.3 billion bushel strong corn crop may impact next year's planting decisions. It is there. The corn crop in the U.S. will soon be harvested. The record-setting number of acres will yield a record-setting total crop. And just maybe, should USDA raise the yield again in October like it did in September, at a record-setting national per acre average, it's definitely there. But demand for the crop is changing a little, and between that and a great big yield, a U of I ag economist says the planting decisions farmers will make for next season have gotten more complicated.
Now the huge 2007 corn crop, and now prospects for a bigger carryover, a bit of a slowdown in the rate of increase of ethanol, maybe says we don't need more corn acres in 2008. Maybe we need to maintain the big acres of 2007. Maybe we don't need to increase that.
Time will tell, and the Chicago Board of Trade will be the harbinger. Wheat futures at the board reached new all-time high price levels this year as that crop has suffered drought and short supplies around the globe. In the United States, those high prices may attract acres usually destined for corn or soybeans, most likely soybeans.
So there may be a little room for more soybean acres, but depending on what winter wheat producers do with these extremely high prices of wheat, if we see a big increase there, then that reduces the amount of acres available for spring planted crops. So it's going to be a very dicey situation in my mind as we see the South American planting decisions unfold, winter wheat planting decisions here unfold, and then certainly in the rest of the world with these high wheat prices, will we see some rush to expand wheat production as well.
The good news for the corn farmer is that all this decision-making as it pertains to wheat and soybean acres will likely keep the price of those two commodities high for a time, and in the process hold up the price of that enormous corn crop standing tall in the Midwest. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. I'm Todd Gleason, host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. WillPledge.org. You know you wanna.
Agricultural programs are made possible with support from Cargill, featuring ProPricing Grain Contracts, a marketing program providing a variety of contracts designed to fit a farmer's performance goals and risk tolerance. Information on the web at CargillProPricing.com.
Time now for a look at the cash grain market on a Wednesday afternoon. Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain out of Terre Haute, Indiana, joins us. I'll bet they're going great guns in your area today. Is that right, Kay?
They're sure rolling, Todd. The combines are going great guns on the sand. We had some corn in this afternoon, a little under 13. The clay corn just is not drying down. It's still anywhere from 25 to 30% in some areas. But, yeah, on the sand, they're really rolling. And I would imagine by this weekend we should be maybe 20% done here in corn.
Good news is you didn't dock that guy for being under, right? No, I'm done.
Of course not.
I'm sorry. It just popped into my mind. I was like, that's okay. So the point is, I suppose, that the dry down has been awfully quick. Farmers need to be looking, if they haven't been in the field, and I'm sure most of them have, that dry down's quick this year, and they need to get that combine out and rolling if they're not there already, I would think.
Absolutely. I'd say the corn dried down exceptionally well, especially on the sand, and a lot of it's going to the bin. We've been fairly busy at the elevator, but they're taking a lot of it home, putting it away, and we just really got started in beans. Bean yields are, I'm going to say probably somewhere between 45 and 50, but the sand beans, probably 20 or less. So we've got some really bad-looking beans, and like I say, we're just getting started. We probably won't even be 5% by this weekend, but these prices are holding up amazingly well in spite of this harvest going on.
You're in a part of the world in Illinois and Indiana that plants more wheat than we do here, about only an hour, hour and a half if you go straight south from us. Are you getting the feeling that producers will be putting more wheat acres in the ground in your area next this fall?
I sure do. We've booked a lot of new crop wheat already, and wheat seed is virtually impossible to find around here. And we were really heavy corn this year because a lot of the guys that followed rotation, and most of them do, we were heavy corn this year, so next year's our year to be heavy beans anyway. So, yeah, we're going to plant a lot more wheat in this area than we did last year, Todd.
So on your typical rotation, you'll be heavier beans, but it'll be second crop, double crop beans, right?
Yes, it will. Absolutely, okay. Yes, it sure will. And basis levels that seem to be, this is such a weird situation that harvest has started so early. Nearby terrains, which naturally we're still into September, are weaker, and yet values for what we would consider the gut slot for like October, November are improving. So that just kind of leads me to believe that maybe once this harvest is over with, this basis will bounce back pretty quickly. At least let's hope so anyway.
All right. That sounds like good news. Speaking of basis levels, what are your bids for the day?
Cash corn today is 319, cash beans 906, and wheat for next year is 514.
We appreciate you being with us.
Thank you, Todd.
That is Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain out of Terre Haute, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report each and every Wednesday afternoon. In 2 minutes, we'll no doubt talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. Your regional newscast comes up right now.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. State Senator Dan Rutherford says he's all for a new revenue stream to support road, bridge, and school construction in the state. But the Republican from Pontiac last night voted against a gaming expansion plan passed by the Senate, saying he has a fundamental concern with additional casinos in Illinois. Rutherford says he doubts the gaming package will pass the House, but he hopes to work with his colleagues to find the backing for a new bond authorization bill. Two other East Central Illinois senators, Democrat Mike Frerichs and Republican Dale Ryder, both voted for the measures. State education officials say they're not tardy this year when it comes to progress reports for schools. The Illinois State Board of Education delivered its annual report card on student assessment tests today. It's the earliest release in 21 years for those results. Last year, the scores were months late, leaving schools little time to figure out where they needed to improve ahead of this year. State Education Superintendent Christopher Cook says getting student assessment scores out on time has been one of his priorities. He says getting the information to schools promptly allows them to make more efficient use of the data. This year's results show slight improvement in most areas.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Drew Lerner. He's the senior agricultural meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, we were talking about really nice weather over the next several days for harvest across the Midwest. Will that continue?
It does look like it's going to be with us more than not. It is September, and it's that time of the year when we do tend to get more dry air involved across the nation. We do have a couple of little bumps in the road, but that's not unusual either. A frontal system will cut across portions of the Midwest early next week. This would be probably Sunday into Tuesday. It will likely generate some scattered showers and thunderstorms across the region, most of which are not likely to be very strong, with one potential exception, and that is there's a tropical cyclone that may develop in the Gulf of Mexico here over the next day or two, and it may move inland across Louisiana and then curve back up across the Midwest, bringing us some increase in moisture from the Gulf. Now, this system that's advertised is supposed to be very weak, and so there won't be a tremendous influx of moisture. Nevertheless, the fact that it is present in the atmosphere will help to juice up the potential for some rain in the Midwest during that Sunday through Tuesday period, and specifically Monday and Tuesday. Right now, though, I wouldn't go for more than a localized amount, about an inch and a half. Most of the precipitation will probably run in the range of perhaps a quarter to three-quarters of an inch. So we're not really talking about a big deal here, unless this tropical event turns out to be more significant. We'll just have to keep an eye on it for right now. After that frontal system goes through the Midwest early next week, we'll find another disturbance coming along, but not until we finish out the month of September. That means the 29th into about the 2nd or 3rd, we'll have a new cool front cutting across the region. This one looks like it's going to favor the western Corn Belt once again over the eastern areas. Some of the rain in the west might be locally heavy at times, but not persistent enough to really set back field work in a dramatic sense. There should be a little pocket of cool air that comes in behind that. It will get us into the month of October a little bit chillier than we are right now, but certainly for the next 10 days, temperatures will be above average across a big part of the Midwest.
Wheat seedings across the globe need to get off to a good start at this time of year to make up for short supplies. How are we doing, and where are the worst places?
Well, I think we're actually looking at some fairly good conditions right now in many areas across the Northern Hemisphere. Europe is going to see a much more stable weather pattern than what they've been seeing in recent weeks. They should get the crops into the ground in a much better way now than they had been earlier on. The Western CIS is going to see better conditions as well. In fact, southwestern Russia and areas in the Ukraine near the Black Sea that had drought for the past year have already seen one round of significant precipitation to support planting, and they're going to see another one in about a week, and the end result should be excellent conditions for them. Also, it's going to rain in northern India and Pakistan both, a little unusual for this time of the year, but it's going to end up favoring wheat planting a little bit later down the road. And in China, it looks like everything's fairly normal. We'll see an increase in precipitation there probably in the second week of the two-week outlook that will also support wheat planting. And right here at home, we are expecting a more restrictive rainfall pattern in hard red wheat country for a little while, but there will be some shower activity out there. The biggest concern in the U.S. is the heat that will continue for the next week to 10 days. That will evaporate moisture out of the ground in the plains fairly quickly. Field work will move along fairly swiftly, but greater amounts of moisture will be needed as we move closer to the month of October.
Drew, thanks for keeping track of the agricultural weather forecast for us.
You bet. Have yourself a good day.
Hey, you too. Drew Lerner is the senior agricultural meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. And that is today's closing market report. Join us tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our first look at the markets. And don't forget, you can always listen to today's futures analysis, the cash grain report, and the weather right there on our website. The address, willag.org. That's willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason.